Hello, and thanks for tuning in to this episode of the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Ken Holsberry. Ken is the associate minister at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ. Let's listen now to Ken's message.
Since I'm going to be preaching today, I thought, well, we'll just go ahead and finish Abraham this morning. We actually started him on a Sunday morning back in the summertime, spent a journey with him throughout the fall on Wednesday nights, and this morning we will finish our journey of faith with our father Abraham. Starting this Wednesday night, we'll take some time over the next couple of months and look in depth at the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians. And so if you want to get ahead and begin maybe reading Philippians this week, we'll spend time there this Wednesday night at Full Cup Cafe. But as I said, today we're going to say goodbye to Father Abraham. I guess that I have begun to look older. This has been something that I have looked forward to my whole life. When I moved here, which was 16 years ago, Hortensia Garrett, who sat right here, came up to me after the first Sunday here. And I won't try to do my Hortensia imitation here, but she said, "Oh, you don't look old enough to be working here. You're only 14 years old." And I just smiled, as I always did when people said that kind of thing to me. But then last week, I'm making my chaplain rounds, and I meet this new guy who's working at the place, and he's probably 23, 24 years old based on what he told me about being out of college and that kind of thing. And so as we're talking, somehow in the conversation, Abilene comes up and ACU comes up. And he looks at me and he says, "What do you know about ACU?" And I said, "Well, I graduated from ACU." He said, "Really?" He said, "My dad graduated from ACU. Maybe you knew him." And I said, "Well, I don't know. What was his name? I didn't know him." I said, "When was he there?" He said, "I don't know, but he's in his 60s. But like I said, I've looked forward to this all my life, so I am not going to complain about it at all. But I guess, at least to a 20-year-old, I am beginning to look older. Abraham and Sarah have grown older. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 23. They've grown older, but they have never stopped walking in faith. And as we finish our journey with Father Abraham today, that's what I want us to see, is how important it is to finish strong, to finish well, to have the faith to finish the journey. Now, I know that for many of you in this room this morning, you really aren't thinking about the finish very much. I mean, you're young, and you're strong, and you're healthy, and you're invulnerable, invincible, and you've got your whole life ahead of you, and I hope that is absolutely true. But there are others in this room, those of us who look 60, and those of us who maybe are 60, and there are others in this room who, more than we would like, think about the finish. But I hope today there's something that we can all learn, no matter where we are in life, about finishing strong. Genesis 23, the first couple of verses. Sarah lived to be 127 years old. And by the way, if I am correct, this is the only woman in Scripture who gets her age told. And I think that women across the ages have not preferred for their age to be shared. But Sarah was 127 years old. She died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. We've seen a lot of first as we've looked at Abraham because it's early in Scripture. This is the first indication of someone weeping in the Bible. And it's appropriate and it's right that the first indication of weeping would be for a husband to weep over his lost wife. And that's one of the first things that I want us to notice about finishing strong is that Abraham loved his wife till the very end. I don't know if in their ceremony they said, till death do us part, but they lived it. And those who finish strong together, till death do us part. Abraham loved Sarah for probably over 100 years. That is a great testimony to love and to marriage. I love it when we get to honor our members who have been married for 50 years. We have members who have been married 60 and almost 70 years. And I love it when we get to honor those folks because they're a testimony to faith. They're a testimony to marriage. They're a testimony to enduring love. And they're an example. I wish sometimes we could hear their story when we say congratulations to so-and-so who've been married for 50 years. I wish we could hear their story because if we could, we would hear the ups and downs of life. They didn't stay married 50 years because it was all smooth and it was all easy. They stayed married 50 years because they were committed to each other and they had a strong faith and a strong finish. And they saw life together through the ups and the downs, through richer and through poor, through sickness in health. They saw life together with their kids and the great times and in the times they worried and couldn't sleep. They saw life together through in-laws and everything that goes along with that. They saw life together and they lived and they loved and they stuck it out. And Abraham and Sarah had that kind of marriage. It had not been a perfect marriage. If you will remember, there were, first of all, he drug her away from home and drug her all over creation, pitching tents and building altars. And then there were at least two occasions when he denied her and put her in jeopardy, serious jeopardy. Said, she's not my wife, she's my sister. He brought another woman into the mix. Now, it was her idea, but since they lasted that long, I know he had learned not to bring up whose idea it was. So it had not been a perfect marriage, but they loved each other and they finished strong. And I want teenagers in this room, and our college students are gone, but if they were here, I want others in this room to hear me say out loud and in public, you can stay married till death do you part. You will see no examples of it in our culture where it's lifted up and honored. You'll see example, example, example of if it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't look good, if it doesn't make you happy, get rid of it and start over. But I want you to know, you can decide and you can live and you can love till death do you part. Abraham and Sarah did it. And it's part of a strong faith and a part of a strong finish. It's possible, it's preferable, it is wonderful to share that kind of life together with someone with whom God is making you one. And I heard a preacher say, what God has made one can't be un-one. And so Abraham and Sarah finished strong. But Sarah's death creates a little bit of a problem, a little bit of a faith test, because the recipients of the promises are growing old and passing away, but the promises haven't been fulfilled. The promises haven't been completely fulfilled. And that's one of the other lessons about finishing strong, is that just because you grow older doesn't mean that the faith journey gets easier. You may understand a lot more. You may have a whole lot more experience, but you still have to walk in faith to the very end. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 speaks about this. It says, all of these people, and it had just talked about Abraham, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. finishing strong means walking in faith until the very last step, until the very last breath. And Abraham modeled finishing strong, and he modeled holding on to the promises of God in faith. And I want us to see three specific things that Abraham did in these last years that show us an example of how to finish strong and how to hold on to the promises of God. And the first one is that Abraham was mindful of the promise by burying, in the way that he buried, Sarah. He is mindful of the promise by burying Sarah. Genesis 23, the next couple of verses, 3 and 4. Then Abraham rose from beside his dead wife, and he spoke to the Hittites. He said, "I am a foreigner and a stranger among you. Sell me some property for a burial site here so I can bury my dead." And the rest of chapter 23 is basically a negotiation between the Hittites and between Abraham over this piece of land. And we're not going to go through all of that. But the end of the chapter explains that the negotiations were successful. Abraham did buy the property and he buried Sarah there. Why is that important? Why is that important in terms of finishing strong? Why is that important in terms of holding on to the promises until the very end? One way it's important is that because the way we grieve sends a message about what we believe. And Abraham really sends two pretty powerful messages here when he buries Sarah in that place. One is, notice the words he used. Notice that he says about himself, he affirms this distinct lifestyle that he has lived all of these years when he says that I am an alien and a stranger among you. Now the reality is Abraham has been living in this land a long time by now. He has been there a long time. But after all of those decades, he still says to the folks, I'm an alien. I'm a stranger here. He affirms that his lifestyle has been different. It has been distinct. He has never become like them. His dress is different. His language is different. His values are different. His religion is different. Abraham has been a good neighbor, but he has never been an accommodator. And at the end, he is still a stranger, and he is an alien among them. Why? Look, let's go back to Hebrews 11, this time verse 14. People who say such things, and what it's referencing is people who say they are aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to call them their God, for He has prepared a city for them. People who finish strong know that they are just visiting here. People who finish strong know that this is not home and that the rest of their life, however long it is, they are going to be strangers and aliens here. They will not fit in here. They will look differently here. They will be distinctive here because this is not home. They are longing for a better home, a heavenly home. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven in Philippians chapter 3. And in that Hebrews passage right there, verse 15 is a line I almost skipped over. Almost didn't even read it. But there's something there. It says they had an opportunity to return to the country they had left. We all have an opportunity to return. Abraham had an opportunity to return to the country that he had left. But by burying Sarah in the promised land, Abraham was ignoring a long-held practice of burying the dead back where they're from. And we still do it to this day. There'll be folks who have lived in Wichita Falls for 50 and 60 years, and when they die, we'll have their funeral here. but then we'll go bury them back home. A place they hadn't lived in decades, but it's home. It's where they belong. It's where they have roots. But by burying Sarah in the promised land, in Canaan, Abraham is holding on to the promises. He is finishing strong. He is affirming that he still believes God is going to do what he said he's going to do, and he's going to give this land to their descendants. And so this is home, and this is the place that Sarah is to be buried. And don't you find it ironic that after all these promises, this promise that all of this land is going to belong to your family, to your descendants, that when it comes to the end, Abraham owns nothing but a cemetery. And he bought it, and he buried Sarah there as a way of saying, I believe that God's promises are true. I'm going to hold on to God's promises. Just like when he had traveled around and pitched his tent and built altars, this is the way that Abraham is claiming the land, looking forward to the day when God completely fulfills his promises. And so the way Abraham grieved spoke volumes about his faith. Because finishing strong declares that death does not bury the promises of God. So, he held on to the promises. He kept the promises in mind. When he buried Sarah, he did it again when he married Isaac. Now, I'm just guessing here, but I imagine that Isaac was a little bit of a mama's boy. His mama was 90 years old when he was born. She had been waiting for him her whole life. And he was this gift, this promised child, this child who brought laughter to her life. And I imagine that she smothered him with love and she spoiled him rotten. And there's a couple of phrases in Scripture that really lead me to believe that. But also just the circumstances. When Sarah dies, Isaac is 37 years old and he still hadn't married. And that's a problem, because Isaac is the child of promise. Isaac's the son who the descendants are going to come from. And in order to have descendants, you first need to be married. And so Abraham realizes at this point, it is time to get Isaac a wife. It is time to get Isaac married. But when he does it, he keeps the promises in mind. Look at chapter 24 now, the first six verses. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. And he said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all he had, put your hand under my thigh, which is just a very specific way to make a promise. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for Isaac. The servant says to him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country that you came from? And Abraham says, make sure you do not take him back there. Abraham knows it's time to get Isaac married, but Abraham's got some specific stipulations of the way that that should happen, and they're centered around the promises. Don't you let him marry one of those Canaanite women. We are strangers and we are foreigners here. We are not like them. Don't you let him marry one of those, and don't you let him leave the land. The land is where God's promises are. This is where God's future is. Don't you let him go back. He'll go back and he'll settle and he won't return. Don't you marry anybody from here, and don't you let him go back. The servant very naturally says, okay, and what if that doesn't work? What if we can't find a woman like Sarah who was willing to leave and come all the way here? What if we can't find her? And Abraham holds on to his faith. And in verse 7, listen to his faith. He says, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household in my native land, and who spoke to me and who promised me on earth, saying to your offspring I will give this land, he will send an angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. And so in choosing a wife for Isaac, Abraham is still walking in faith. He is finishing strong. He has seen enough in his life to know that there is supernatural power behind the promises of God. And he has seen enough to know that there is unseen hands at work in ensuring that God's promises come to fruition exactly like God said that they will. And so he believes that God is going to go before this servant, and God is going to pave a way, and God is going to make a way. And God did. The servant found Rebekah. Rebekah for Isaac. A girl who was willing to come back to the land, and a girl who was willing to marry him, and the woman through whom God would bring descendants who would fulfill the promise and who would take the land. And so as Abraham finishes strong, he buries his wife and he marries his son, keeping the promises of God in mind. And the last way in these few chapters and verses that we see Abraham finishing strong, walking in faith, holding on to the promises, is he was mindful of the promise by burying Sarah, by marrying Isaac, and by carrying on. Abraham did not stop living because he grew old. He didn't stop loving because he grew old. Genesis chapter 25 now, the first six verses. Abraham had taken another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. And then the next couple of verses talk about their descendants. But I want to go to verse 5. Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac. But while he was still living, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines, and he sent them away from his son Isaac to the land of the east. Now, I don't know if that bothers you a little bit or not. I don't know if it bothers you a little bit that Abraham remarried. We said earlier, he wept at Sarah's grave. He loved Sarah. But marrying again does not negate that first love. In the end, when he's buried, he's going to be buried beside Sarah. Now, I'm experiencing this in my own family right now. Last week, my mama and her fiancé, Jerry, were here, and they're going to be married the first Saturday of March. And I am thrilled. As I joke with folks, finally somebody's taking her off my hands. But I really am thrilled. He's a good man. He's a godly man. He will be good for her. My daddy died over 9 years ago, and I honestly thought there were many days and many months and many years that I really wondered whether my mama was ever going to live again. I'm thrilled that she is, and I'm thrilled that she's going to love again. Doesn't mean she loves my daddy any less. It just means she's ready to go on. And Abraham carried on. He had years to live, and he carried on. He went on living. And in fact, God kept another promise through this marriage. Back in chapter 17, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, that means you're going to be the father of many nations. For I have made you a father of many nations. It was through Keturah that he had these other sons who he sent back east, and who through whom he became the father, as just as God had said, not just of the one chosen nation, but of many nations. But Abraham had learned his lesson with Ishmael. He had learned, as much as he loved Ishmael and as much as he loved these other sons, Isaac was the promised son. Isaac was the one through whom God was going to do his work, which, never forget, the ultimate work through whom that God is doing is to bring Jesus Christ into the world. That's the ultimate work that he is doing. And it's through Isaac. It's through Abraham. It's through Isaac. It's through Jacob that he's going to do that. And so Abraham had learned his lesson. As much as I love the other ones, it's Isaac that God is working through in this very specific way. And through pain, he had had to send Ishmael away. God had told him to. He learned his lesson here. He gave everything he had to Isaac, but he took care of his other sons. He gave them gifts, and he sent them out to a life in the east. And so, and to the very, very end, Abraham lived by faith in the promises of God. He finished strong, and there is something inspiring, and there is something encouraging being in the presence of men and women who are finishing strong. And I mean this sincerely. I am thankful to be a part of this church. We have a large group of folks who are finishing strong and who are carrying on and who are active, vibrant members and leaders and part of this family here. I'm thankful for that. It is inspiring to be in the presence of those who finish strong and who finish well. Jerry, my mom's fiancé, while he was here last weekend, he's from Pennsylvania. He's lived there for 60 years. Thankfully, he's smart enough to move here. But this whole deal with Penn State's been a big deal to him. He's followed Penn State for a long, long time. And he said how sad it is that Joe Paterno, who has been this great coach, I mean, at 85 years old, he's been the coach there for 46, the head coach has 46 years, even longer when you count his time there before he was head coach. And he's had a great career, and he's had a great program, and he's been a man who's been held up as an example. And Jerry said how sad it is that after all of that, what we're going to remember is this scandal. And it just made me think that in the end, it doesn't matter as much how you started. It matters how you finish. Somebody pointed out that most of the folks who will be at your funeral will only know you for the last part of your life. When Larry or I do a funeral, most of the time, we only knew the last couple of decades of that person's life, if that. Very few are going to remember how you started. What they're going to remember is how you finished. There's always good news with God. And there's good news for those who finish strong. Because for the faithful, the finish isn't the end. For the faithful, the finish isn't the end. Abraham's life, all of Abraham's life, he was a pilgrim. A pilgrim, by definition, is on a journey. At the end of the pilgrimage, where do they, what lies at the end of the pilgrimage? It isn't the end. It's the beginning. Because at the end of the pilgrimage lies the destination. Your home. It's not the end. It's the beginning. When I think about pilgrim, I think about the pilgrims who came over on the Mayflower. When we study the pilgrims, we spend very, very little time on their journey on the Mayflower. Where do we spend time when we study them? Once they got there, the destination, the new country. For those who finish strong in the Lord, there is a new country waiting at the end of the pilgrimage. Death is not the end. Praise God. It is only the beginning. This is the journey. That's what we're going for. And that's where we'll live the rest of eternity. And so for those who finish strong, for those who finish in faith, the end is the beginning. The end is home. Abraham lived 175 years. And then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age. And he was gathered to his people. Who are his people? He didn't go back to Ur. Who are his people? I think that it's all of those who went before and who come after, who finish strong. and who walk in faith to the very end. Because the end is not death. The end is a great reunion of all who have walked with God, of all who have finished in faith. The end is this great reunion. Some of the imagery of Scripture is of sitting around a table, eating and feasting and fellowship and laughing and enjoying all of those. I want to be at that table. I want you, every one of you, to be at that table. Well, the men who are willing to serve the supper today, would you come forward now, please? Tom Long told this story in one of his books. He had been a minister in his early years at a little church, and later in life got the opportunity to go back to that church, saw folks he had loved, saw the daughter of a man he had dearly loved, and he asked her about her dad to find out that her dad had passed away, and he expressed his sympathy, and she said, "That's okay. Let me tell you how he finished." And she said that in his last illness, he was bedridden, and he could hardly talk. And as the end came, she and her brother were gathered around his bed. And he mumbled and he motioned until they finally realized he wanted them to bring him a cup of water. And so she said they brought him the cup and they gave it to him and they helped him drink it, thinking that was what he had wanted. But then he kept mumbling and he kept motioning until he showed them that after he drank from it, he wanted his son to drink from it. And then he wanted his daughter to drink from it. And she said it dawned on her, "My dad is having communion with us as the very last thing that he does. He wanted to eat and drink with those he loved one last time." We love to eat and drink with those we love. Jesus did too. He did it many, many times in his time here on earth. And he left us this legacy of gathering together to eat and drink with those we love. And we know that he is here with us as well. And all of those who are walking on this journey of faith. And we do it looking forward to the day when we eat and we drink around the table in the mansion that our Father has prepared for us with a great cloud of witnesses who have finished strong.